It's another week and another series of election-related bills for lawmakers to debate at the state capitol. Several were defeated last week in the Senate, but plenty more are still moving through the pipeline. With me now, as he is every Monday during the legislative session, to talk about what to expect this week is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Good morning, Howie.
Good morning. I'm sitting here looking at my magic eight ball and saying, why would we do this again?
Well, so, I mean, it does kind of feel like Groundhog Day at the Capitol, even though that was more than a month ago at this point. But what are some of the election-related bills coming up for discussion this week?
Well, we've got a couple of them on certification of voting machines, security of voting machines, making sure they're not connected to the internet. We have a couple of them on issues of ballot images, whether when you vote, your ballot should be put online. Now, theoretically, it's not identifiable unless, of course, you happen to scribble your name or, you know, a Kilroy was here, perhaps a reference in the corner or something like that. Then, of course, there's issues of when voter registration will be canceled, what records the Secretary of State and county officials have to check. So it's, again, the usual grab bag of things to solve whatever problems real or perceived are out there.
All right, so let's move away from election bills and talk about a bill that's up for a final vote in the Senate today that would basically, supporters say anyway, would give parents much more access to materials that their kids are learning about in school.
Exactly. This has been one of those rallying cries nationwide about empowering parents and whether teachers are purposely teaching kids that parents don't want them to learn. Now, there's always been options for parents to get information from schools. Much of what is taught is from books that have been around for a long time, perhaps too long, but that too is another story. So what this does is sets up a whole procedure for parents to be able to go in and look at the books, look at the videos, even get information, lecturers, what they might say, what their backgrounds are, and have that ahead of time. And particularly in cases where it's going to be talking about something about racism or politics or gender or anything else, that information has to be available 72 hours ahead of anything being discussed. Again, the idea is parental involvement and parental permission and parental oversight. It becomes a tricky balance. I know that that Senator Paul Boyer did, in fact, make some changes when the bill went to floor debate last week to ensure that teachers don't have to have their entire lesson plan for the semester laid out and available to parents ahead of time. So they seem to be recognizing the questions of how do you make this happen in a real-time basis. But you're still down to the question of where is that line between what is normal and needs to be done without everything going up online, and what are the practical effects of that?
Well, and Howie, this is seemingly part of a national trend, right, where states are, Arizona's not the only state looking into doing something like this, and the whole idea of, you know, a quote-unquote parents' bill of rights and more transparency in the classroom, this is not just an Arizona issue at this point.
Oh, definitely not. And a lot of it has been frustration over things like the so-called critical race theory, which, of course, what's being taught is not critical race theory. That's really a college level academic, nice handle for folks. And questions of what are students being taught? Are they being taught things that parents would not be happy with? Well, sometimes that happens. You know, the nature of teaching history, the nature of teaching geopolitical politics sometimes comes with questions about, well, are there good guys? Are there bad guys? I mean, look at, you know, how do you teach about the Ukraine and what's happening with Russia invasion? I know what they're calling it, a peacekeeping mission, without, you know, putting words on it. So I think that's where it gets to be tricky. And I think that's where a lot of the education community is concerned that we're going to get to a point where we've diluted questions, particularly of history, so much that students don't seem to understand what the background was, how we got here, how we got into issues of slavery, how we got into issues of Jim Crow and things like that.
Howie, let me ask you quickly before we let you go about another bill that would basically allow or maybe require physicians to prescribe things during public health emergencies that they otherwise maybe wouldn't prescribe.
Well, this is an interesting question because on one hand, if you can get a doctor to prescribe something, a pharmacist should fill it. Absent some specific indication that if that the pharmacist knows this patient has a medical history that would make it inappropriate. But it still gets down to this. This is the whole ivermectin issue, whether in fact the pharmacist should prescribe something that's normally meant for reduction of parasites, usually right. in animals, and whether they should be required to fill it. Again, you're down to a question of balance there. Pharmacists are not quite like doctors. They don't have the whole Hippocratic oath thing, if you will. Mm-hmm. But what responsibility do they have to ensuring that when something is being prescribed to say to the patient, this is not what this is for. This is not just off-label. This is just totally out there somewhere in the wilderness.
Right.
Generally speaking, pharmacists have a lot of latitude to decide what to fill, what not to fill. What's interesting is this is the same legislature that allows pharmacists not to fill certain prescriptions for certain abortion medications. But we're going to require that they give patients everything else that they want, except for abortion medications and perhaps even family planning.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. That is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Thanks, Howie.
Another great week here at the Capitol.